Before we begin this week's episode, I have some sad news to share. Nick Daly, who ran the Star Trek Captions Twitter account and was a guest on this show in August of last year, passed away suddenly this past week. Nick was beloved by many in the Star Trek fan community. Please join me in a moment of silence honoring his humor, spirit, and please also join me in sending our thoughts to his wife and son. Channel open. Welcome back to Weekly Trek, a proud member of the Tricorder Transmissions podcast network. I am your host, Alex Perry.
What's today's date? The date.
Today's show was recorded on July 25th, 2020, and is current through Star Trek Picard Season 1, so beware of spoilers. All right, let's get into the show.
Good day, Voyager, and welcome to A Briefing with Neelix. It's a catchy title, isn't it?
Weekly Trek is a 30-minute news show covering the biggest stories from the Star Trek franchise. We are in a new golden age of Star Trek. There are 6 television shows in production, possibly more on the way, and enough merchandise to fill the Bajoran wormhole. So stick with me, and I'll help you sort the real facts from a lot of the Dominion propaganda that you'll find online. But I can't do this alone, and my guest this week is returning guest, Carlos Miranda. Carlos, welcome back to Weekly Trek.
Thank you very much for having me, Alex. It's a pleasure.
And I'm thrilled to have you back, and especially after San Diego Comic-Con, a little quieter than we were expecting, but still plenty for us to talk about. Well, Carlos, you know the drill. I want to know something that's got you feeling good about Star Trek this week. What's got you moving at Warp 10?
Oh, man, it's got to be, honestly, I think all of us, especially, you know, if Twitter's anything to go by, I think having seen the opening scene from Lower Decks, it's just, I'm so excited for the show. I really think that this idea of the Kurtzman era of every single show kind of being, you know, in a different genre, I'm here for it. I think that, you know, animated Star Trek is going to work so well. And I think the scene was, you know, it just hit every note. I am excited for it. So it definitely has in me traveling at Warp 10 and turning into a weird reptile creature.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun, and I think signals really exciting things for the show ahead. But that is one of our news stories this week, so we will hold more of a discussion for that until we get there. The thing I'm feeling good about Star Trek this week is, you know, and this is going to sound odd since this is what I'm saying right after saying what I'm feeling good about Star Trek this week. It was sort of a damp squib of a panel for San Diego Comic-Con at home. I mean, there was a ton of excitement about an hour and a half panel in which we were getting Discovery, Lower Decks, and Picard. And we did not get as much news about what was going on with the Star Trek franchise as I think we were hoping for. We did not, for example, get a trailer for Star Trek Discovery Season 3, like I think many people had been expecting. We did not get a premiere date for Star Trek Discovery Season 3, like I think most people were hoping. There was really kind of no sort of discussion really about Season 3 and what to expect in the third season. The Discovery portion of the panel was actually much more taken up with a live table reading of the season finale of Season 2, Such Sweet Sorrow Part 2. We didn't really get any information about Star Trek Picard, second season. The cast were there. There was a fun discussion around Season 1, but no news about Season 2, what to expect. Certainly nothing that reached the level of shock and awe as last year's panel, which sort of set, I think, the bar really, really high in terms of expectations. You know, we got the first Picard trailer. We got the reveal around the return of Jeri Ryan and Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis and Jonathan Del Arco to the franchise. I mean, just this colossally earth-shaking news. And this year's San Diego Comic-Con panel, virtual edition, did not provide that. So I can hear you sort of asking, all right, well, that sounds really disappointing. So, I mean, why has that got you feeling good about Star Trek this week? And I mean, on the one hand, obviously, you know, I am disappointed. I tweeted, I think, like 30 minutes after the panel finished, that I couldn't help but feel a little wistful about what the panel would have been had COVID-19 not happened, because it's obvious that the plans have totally been upended by the coronavirus pandemic. And that were it not for that, Picard season 2 would be filming and we would probably have a trailer. Discovery season 3 would be on the air and we would probably have information about that show. We would probably have gotten a trailer for Lower Decks, which wouldn't have been coming until later in the year. Stranger Worlds may have been filming. I mean, there just so much would have been happening and there would have been more information. So I am feeling good about Star Trek this week because even though we only got a little bit of news, it's comforting to know that everything continues to move forward, even incrementally, even at a slow pace, despite everything that's going on. And we do have new Star Trek to look forward to. We have a new show to look forward to. Well, not a new show, a previously announced show that now has an official name and logo, which we'll talk about in a second. I mean, Carlos, what was your reaction to the panel?
You know, I'm with you. I think, you know, I wasn't expecting it to be as kind of blockbuster as it was last year. I remember I was at a very good friend of mine's, like at a dinner party, and I like pretended that I had to go to the bathroom every 15 minutes because I just wanted to refresh the news and things like that. And at one point I literally said, I mean, this is a very good friend of mine and they all know, you know, my Star Trek obsession. I literally was like, guys, the Star Trek Picard trailer is dropping. I'm going to be out of here for about 15 minutes. And they were all like, yeah, fine, whatever. So like, I knew that it wasn't going to be that blockbuster, but I have to be honest, I was extremely disappointed with the panel. I'm with you though. You know, I echo the fact that we are 100% in a new golden age of Star Trek. Obviously, given the pandemic, given the virus, I knew it wasn't going to be blockbuster, but I thought we'd get a little bit more. You know, I thought maybe that we would, you know, hear a little bit more about what's happening with Strange New Worlds, maybe see some concept art. I thought maybe a little bit more than just a title and you know, like a nicely designed title for Prodigy. They could have done something, I think, with, you know, we were just saying right before we went live that I was surprised that there wasn't at least either a scene or a new trailer for Disco season 3. So I have to be honest, I was disappointed. I was most disappointed in the Picard panel. Again, I thought whoever that deadline moderator guy was, please never ever have him do anything with like ever again. But it was just lackluster. And it wasn't just because of the coronavirus. I think it was just lackluster because they just didn't, it's almost like they didn't really want to give anything away. But again, you know, I can't really complain, man. We have 5 shows in active development. God knows what's happening with the Section 31 show. And even if it doesn't happen now, we still have 3 live action. And, you know, 2 animated, and one of them, which we'll talk about in a second, is one that I'll be able to watch with my kids. I think it's awesome, and I'm super pumped.
And we know things that are definitely still coming up for sure. Discovery season 3, Lower Decks season 1 now just 2 weeks away. Prodigy season 1, Lower Decks season 2, Prodigy season 2. I mean, that's 5 seasons worth of content that is definitely happening.
Yeah.
Coronavirus be damned. So with all this sort of uncertainty happening, and I think that has sort of encouraged them to be really cautious about what they say because they don't want to get people's hopes up. They, you know, they didn't say Lower Decks was happening until like 4 weeks before the show was premiering. You know, I don't think anything like that would have happened in a pre-coronavirus environment either. I think, you know, they're just being so cautious about all of this that they don't want to tell us anything until they 100% know for sure that it's happening.
I get that. But I think, I completely understand. I just wish there would have been a little bit something more. I also wish that even if there wasn't going to be anything more, I wish that, like, you know, that the questions being asked of the Picard panel like would have been interesting. And I don't mean that the Twitter kind of the fan questions, those are always fun, but I'm talking about, like, you know, there was nothing truly meaty asked of the cast. You have the entire cast of Star Trek Picard right there, and you really, you know, I think there was nothing good asked of them. There was no really engagement. If it wasn't for Marina being Marina, like,
yes,
it wouldn't have been, you know, fun to watch. All, you know,
bluntly. Right? Yeah, I think that one was the most disappointing. I mean, Dominic Patton, who was the host, who also hosted the official Picard podcast, you know, he didn't ask them any questions. He didn't really ask them on the podcast. I mean, I think I've heard a lot of the answers from the cast 3, 4, 5 times. Like, some of the answers from the cast we heard at Comic-Con last year, like,
yeah,
you could at least avoid asking the same questions you asked in 2019.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think the table read was an interesting way of doing it, and it was a lot of fun. And obviously they took time with it because they intercut, you know, they intercut the storyboards and the wireframes for the visual effects. So I thought that was actually legitimately like a cool thing to do, but I think it would have been better had it been And here is a little sneak peek of season three, which will become, which will come to you at some point. But I think the Lower Decks was great. I thought the disco panel was fun and different. I was disappointed that they didn't show anything new, but you know, neither here nor there. But the one that I was just, I thought was just like just bombed was the Picard. And it was up to, I think, you know, Alison Pill calling him SPS, which I thought was great. And then Marina being Marina were the only two things that were worthwhile.
Well, despite being a little underwhelming, there is still plenty for us to talk about. So with that, let's turn to the week's top stories.
There's a war going on, and I'm a reporter.
So I think the biggest news this week is that Star Trek's worst-kept secret has now been officially revealed. The name of the Nickelodeon animated show targeted at a younger demographic is officially Star Trek Prodigy. After references to that being the show's name in both the Wall Street Journal and the Los Angeles Times that CBS at the time refused to confirm, Alex Kurtzman revealed the name at this week's San Diego Comic-Con at Holmes Enter the Star Trek Universe panel. In addition, we were also shown the logo for the new show. We didn't get any more details than just the name and logo, but we also know from what's previously been released that the show, quote, follows a group of lawless teens who discover a derelict Starfleet ship and use it to search for adventure, meaning, and salvation. But there is one potentially interesting hint in the logo. The center of the O on Prodigy forms the shape of the Red Squad symbol. Red Squad, the elite Starfleet Academy unit introduced in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, was the home to the Academy's best and brightest. You might even say home to its prodigies. Will there be a Red Squad connection? Who knows? Because we don't know anything about the show, but we do know that it's coming in 2021, so we do not have too long to wait in order to find out more. Carlos, what did you think about the name and logo for Star Trek Prodigy?
You know, I think it's great, and I do love the fact that we don't know. You know, part of me loves the fact that we're so spoiler obsessed, and we get so much information. I do kind of enjoy that, like, you know, little bit by little bit, like especially with Prodigy, the little bit of news that are being dribbled out. I'm here for it. During lockdown, my kids, I have 8-year-old twins, and they don't care for Star Trek at all. They have no interest in it whatsoever. And I would never like force them on it. That's the easiest way to make sure that they never watch it. But we have been watching quite a bit of Nickelodeon shows that are phenomenal. They're obsessed with a show called The Loud House and its sister show called Casa Grande, which is great. And obviously we've been watching Avatar, which was originally, you know, and Legend of Korra, which are also all four of which are Nickelodeon shows. And Nickelodeon can put out amazing kids content that works, you know, in that wonderful Pixar way that also works beautifully for adults. You know, let's not forget things like Avatar and Korra. Those were, especially Avatar, that was aimed at kids. And, you know, right now, Avatar, as of this week, in fact, it was in the New Yorker had an article this week about it. And Avatar is the most watched television program in the country, right?
Wow.
And look it up. I mean, there's been New York Times articles about it. There's been this long New Yorker piece on it. I'm like, why is that? And it's because it's just the story of the show works so well, and it works beautifully at that multi-generational. You can be 60, you can be 40, you can be 20, you can be 10, and absolutely, you know, and absolutely love the show. I was talking to a colleague at work who's I think it's like 30. He said he's in his early 30s. So let's say he's 30, 31. And he had watched Avatar and Korra live when he was like 12 or whatever. And the moment that he was on Netflix, he watched them again, you know? And so I'm here for it. I think Nickelodeon can do amazing content. I think that animation could be a great, you know, could be great for Star Trek. I'm not the biggest fan of the animated series, but, you know, I think Lower Decks,
you're not alone in that, I think.
I know. So I do scrub TAS from like the official record in my mind.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, a new generation of talent with the kind of storytelling that can be done in animation today, both for Lower Decks and also for Prodigy, could be really, really exciting. I have seen quite a bit of, you know, I try to keep my Twitter engagement extremely positive, and I only follow people who are positive, so I don't see a lot of the trolling. But, you know, whenever you have a Comic-Con type thing, an announcement, you can't help but see all this negativity. And I just don't understand it. Like, you know, it's cool if you don't want to watch a new Star Trek show. And I think it's amazing that they're making a show for, like, you know, 8 to 12 year olds who can use it as a, almost like a gateway into Star Trek. Or guess what?
Totally.
They don't watch any other Star Trek, but they love that one show, you know? My yep. kids are not into any sort of superhero thing at all. You can imagine they have no interest in Marvel. They have no interest in DC, but they are obsessed. They watch at least two or three episodes every single day with a Cartoon Network show about the Teen Titans called Teen Titans Go. And it's like super cartoony and it's super smart. And I watch it with them. And other than watching Teen Titans, they have no interest in superheroes. And so like, how great is it that just a kid can watch Prodigy and just love it for what it is? So I'm here for it. I think it looks great. I think the colors are bright and spacey and fun. And, you know, I'm all in, man.
Yeah, over the last few months, I have been visiting purposefully Star Wars animated shows to sort of see a kind of how a similar dynamic plays out in that space where you have, you know, movies, and then you've got animated shows that are based off of the kind of live action content that are supposed to be part of the same universe and see how they fit together. And I mean, I think they're tremendously successful. I mean, shows like Rebels and Clone Wars and Resistance, which is probably my least favorite of the three that I watch, but still, you know, perfectly enjoyable. You know, there's some really great stuff there. And if Star Trek Prodigy can rise to the level of interest from both younger and, frankly, older fans, I mean, there are many, many older fans who are very into Clone Wars in the way that there are many kids who are also into it.
Yeah.
If Prodigy can kind of thread that needle too, that'll be very, very exciting.
Agree completely, man. I agree completely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little lukewarm on the name. Prodigy is a little, I don't know, yeah. I have mixed feelings about that, just that term in general, and like the sort of pressure that we put on kids, to particularly kids who, you know, are gifted in some way, or we put a lot of pressure on kids to excel and be gifted. So I'm a little hesitant about the name from that perspective, but since I don't know anything about the details of the show and how, you know, the name kind of ties into the idea behind it, I'm 100% reserving judgment and just very open and interested to see what comes next.
Yeah, I mean, I share that, you know, especially as a parent. I am not, you know, I'm much more of the Jake Sisko camp rather than the Wesley Crusher camp, like 100%. But I think that, you know, we don't know anything about the story. It could be about how these kids like get confidence, you know, and they grow into something, right? So we don't know, you know, we don't know anything. But I think that the I'm sure there will be, you know, there'll be lots of characters, and there'll be characters who excel and characters that don't, and it'll be about their personal journey. And again, if you look at shows like Clone Wars, Rebels, Avatar, you know, you can make animated shows for that demographic that really has amazing character growth, just amazing character growth. And so, you know, I'm sure we can get some nods out of it. It'll be amazing.
Totally, totally. Well, I'm sure we will learn more about Star Trek Prodigy in the months ahead, because all we have right now is a name and a logo. But I am really excited that we can call it Star Trek Prodigy and not the untitled Nickelodeon animation show, or cough, cough, Star Trek Prodigy, cough, cough. So we will move on from there to, as we were talking about earlier, the second biggest story out of San Diego Comic-Con at home this week was our first extended look at Star Trek Lower Decks. And though it will not quite play as well in an audio medium as it does in a visual medium, I'll still pause here for us to listen to it.
Stardate 57436.2. The Cerritos is docked at Douglas Station for routine maintenance and resupply. We will soon set course for the capital planet on the Galar system, where we're scheduled to make second contact with the Galardonian High Council. First contact is a delicate, high-stakes operation of diplomacy. One must be ready for anything when humanity is interacting with an alien race for the first time.
But we don't do that. Our specialty is second contact. Still pretty important. We get all the paperwork signed, make sure we're spelling the name of the planet right, get to know all the good places to eat.
Oh my God, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Oh no. Are you pretending to do a captain's log?
We're all supposed to keep logs.
Okay, let me listen to it.
No, go away.
I can't believe you're wasting your shore leave on this.
Privacy, please.
Okay, time to go. Come on, get Privacy. Closet. Let's go. Come on.
Are you drunk?
Yeah, dude, you should be too. I mean, this station is amazing. And they have Romulan whiskey. And I bet you thought it was going to be green, but it is actually blue. It's this very beautiful color.
Romulan whiskey is against regulation.
Yeah, because it's awesome. Oh, man, they got all sorts of great stuff. Oh, come on, check this out.
Be careful with that.
Pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, it's a Klingon bat. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. It doesn't matter. Shut up. I got it from an old guy with an eye patch. Hey. Come spar with me.
Stop.
Come on. Oh, we could be Klingons. We could have crimped hair or wrinkled foreheads.
War.
I love honor. Hey, I demand honor.
This is such a visual show that the sight gags don't translate well onto a podcast. But if you haven't seen this clip, you absolutely have to. First off, it's got all the TNG era Star Trek aesthetic you could want. Lingering shots on starships. An establishing shot of an orbital starbase that could have come straight from the movies or The Next Generation. And a familiar look and feel inside the ship. And it's really funny. Getting more of a chance to see the characters interact with each other and a little more time to breathe than the quick cut shots from the trailer gives us a really good sense of the relationship between two of the show's main characters, Ensigns Mariner and Boimler. And that final second, I will not lie, when I first saw the clip when it was released at San Diego Comic-Con at home, I did laugh out loud very, very, very loudly. So I cannot wait to see more of this show. Carlos, you talked a little bit about your reaction to the clip earlier, but what did you think? Are you excited for Lower Decks?
No, I am. And the thing I'm most excited about is that Mike, what's his name?
McMahon.
Yeah, there you go. He's one of us in terms of he grew up with TNG, DS9, and Voyager, right? Like, and obviously Enterprise, but like that's his comfort food for Star Trek. So I love the fact that the show takes place immediately after Nemesis, but several years before Picard. It is a nice time frame that we've never really explored. I adore the look of the show, and I'm not talking about the animation style, which I think the animation style is fine and it'll be great. But just every shot, I find myself pausing and being like, oh my God, look at this. You know, you look at the pictures and they're like, the Klingon blood wine is in the exact same bottles as it appears on Deep Space Nine. And look at the glasses that are the same from 10 forward. Look at the tricorder. Look at that. This guy, Mike and his crew have just totally embraced that, you know, what for me is comfort food Star Trek. You know, I love Picard. I love Disco. But, you know, I appreciate those as an adult and I love them because it's Star Trek, but my Star Trek comfort food is a Berman era 24th century show. And I love Enterprise, nothing to do with Enterprise, nothing to do with the original series. But to me, that Star Trek that when I'm down, you know, and I want to put on a Star Trek, it is TNG, DS9, or Voyager, right?
Yep.
And so that aesthetic, that look, that feel, I am giddy because of it. I just think it's going to be amazing. And I look forward to, you know, going to Trek Corps the day after every episode airs, where, you know, whether it's you, Alex, or somebody else from Trek Corps sitting there and pointing out like all, you know, all the canon continuity. And did you notice this? And did you notice that? Because ultimately I always find one or two things that I've missed. And so I'm just excited for it. I think it's going to be great.
It is a team effort that we work hard on. So I appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, I think we're going to have our work cut out for us with this show. It has already kind of thrown even just in press images and the trailer and this one clip, I mean, there are so many kind of little references and visual cues sort of that you can just derive so much joy from.
Completely.
I think it was my boss over at Trek Corps who I think said it best, and this is sort of similar to what you were saying, Carlos, which is Mike McMahon is sort of the equivalent of if like, you or I were given the ability to make a TV show in the Star Trek universe, right? Like, you know, someone who just really loves it and wants to see more of it. And in Mike McMahon's case, just so happens to have a comedy and an animation background. And so he's doing more Star Trek in the way that he knows how, which is a animated comedy. And I think it's just, I mean, like, you know, just from these 2 minutes, I mean, how can the show not be great, right? Like if that's your setup, you know, we don't know for sure that this is the opening scene from the first episode, but like it opens with a captain's log and establishing ship, that shot of a starship, and then we have a little scene like that is your classic episode teaser right there from you know, any TNG, DS9 or Voyager episode, and like you just immediately recognize it for what it is, even though it's, you know, animation, and it's got jokes, and, you know, it just is so comfortably familiar at the same time. It's just very, very exciting.
But to build on exactly what you just said, also, and we were talking about Prodigy, right? And this potential idea that Prodigy might be about these like super duper cadets or something, you know, Prodigy, like kids who are prodigies who figure out how to work the starship and all of that. What I love about Lower Decks is that it's anything but. You know, when they were, you know, when they were talking about it, and like, this is not First Contact. These are not the elite Starfleet officers. This is not the Prodigy. This is not the people that you send out first. This is Second Contact. The moment they said that, I was like, I get it. I see exactly what the show is in my mind. And obviously, I didn't know the animation style. I didn't know the kind of jokes they were going for. I didn't know what it was all about. But it painted such a perfect picture. And the fact that the ship looks like a kitbashed model in the background, like, this guy has gotten all of the detail perfect. And I am just, I'm just so excited. And I love the fact that these are characters that are not the, you know, it's not Captain Picard. It's not the elite. It's not the best of the best. It's actually kind of like, yeah, these are the people that come in and do the paperwork. You know, yeah, I think that's awesome.
It is very exciting. And now, less than 2 weeks away from premiere. And by the time you're listening to this episode, it's really only about a week and a half away. So we really do not have very long at all to wait for the show, which is super, super exciting. Well, our other Lower Decks news this week, which was not from San Diego Comic-Con panel, is that Deadline has reported that comedian and actor Paul Scheer will be playing a recurring role in Lower Decks as the USS Cerritos' chief engineer, Lieutenant Commander Anthony Billups. Billups will be the senior officer to Ensign Rutherford, one of the show's four protagonists, voiced by Eugene Cordero. We don't know how many episodes Scheer will be providing his voice talents for, but we expect it will be more than just one. Scheer has previously appeared in comedies such as The League, Black Monday, and also appeared alongside Star Trek Voyager's Kate Mulgrew in NTSF:SD:SUV, which was a parody of spy cop shows over on, I think it was Adult Swim, if I recall correctly. Carlos, are you excited that the vocal talents of Paul Scheer will be joining Star Trek?
Yeah, man. I think the character design. By the way, Paul Scheer has been in some of my... He always pops up in all of my
favorite comics. He pops up everywhere.
Everywhere, right? He pops up everywhere. And I think, you know, I love shows like 30 Rock and Parks and Rec and you know, and this little watch show called Happy Endings, which I absolutely loved. And he's in all of them. He's just in so many of, you know, he's never the star. He's not even necessarily a recurring guest star, but he's been in so many shows and so many movies that are fun and that you love and are comfort food. So I think he's great. He's got a really, you know, unique, distinct voice. And so, it looks like his voice perfectly marries the character design, which is like straight out of like 70s, 80s looking kind of character with the big fat mustache. I just think it's going to be great. I think he's phenomenal. He's got, again, a very unique voice, and you could see him how that, you know, you can already kind of see the character and how he will develop and the kind of character that he is based on the voice talent.
And just what a fun addition to, you know, Star Trek actor talent, right? I mean, Paul Scheer, you know, who would have thought Paul Scheer would ever appear in a Star Trek show? And yet here he is as the chief engineer of a starship, no less.
It's just phenomenal. It's just great. And, you know, I think that there's a certain element in what we've seen already of like real friends, and like they make fun of each other and they take little jabs at each other. I think that that's going to bring, you know, my favorite friendships in Star Trek and my favorite dynamics are the ones that just seemed like they were real. You know, I mean, every Star Trek show has characters that they get along and they have good chemistry. But if it was real life, it would be the equivalent of somebody that you work with that you got along well, right?
Right.
But I think what my favorite Star Trek dynamic, like the dynamics are the ones where you have people like Bashir and O'Brien, you know, Odo and Quark, where they seemed really real. And it's because they're not, you know, one isn't necessarily superior to the other, and or they're working in different, they occupy completely different spaces. Yet there's a certain, you know, there's a certain level of realism to their relationship. And I think there's going to be a lot of that in this show.
Well, our last story this week that we didn't get any news about Discovery Season 3, as we talked about from the San Diego Comic-Con at Home panel. Alex Kurtzman did offer the smallest of hints about the status of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Obviously, the show is lacking a shoot date due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but Kurtzman did say that the writer's room is working on the show and that they have broken stories for now 10 episodes. We don't know if that means that the first season will be 10 episodes or if they've just broken the first 10 episodes, but they have stories now in place, if not scripts, for the first 10. He also said the plans for the show had been in the works as far back as Comic-Con last year, which, if you will cast your minds back, he did ask some cryptic comment on stage about, oh, who would be interested in seeing a show featuring Pike and Spock and Number One? And everybody screamed yes, and he goes, okay, we'll think about it. So I think that puts a little more significance behind that cryptic question from a year ago.
You know, I gotta be honest with you, of all of the Star Trek shows that we have coming up, whether it's season one of Lower Decks, you know, Prodigy, season two of Picard, season three of Disco, the one I am most excited for is Strange New World. My absolutely favorite thing of Disco season two was Pike, Number One, Spock, everything to do with the Enterprise in Disco, I was just in love with. I thought everything from the costumes to the design, interior and exterior of the Enterprise was just such a beautiful, pitch-perfect update. And so I have been all in for those characters since the moment I saw them. And I am just super, super, super excited. I love the fact that it's going to be, you know, what there'll be some common denominator themes and things I've gone through, but that I love the fact that it's going to be episodic. Don't get me wrong. I love, you know, serialized television very much. And it's my preferred form of, you know, of watching TV nowadays, like most of us. But honestly, I'm just excited for it. I hope they don't change an iota of the look and the feel of how they did it, of how they did the Enterprise on Disco. And so, yeah, the fact that they already have 10 stories means that, you know, if it goes by what Picard or Disco, that's the bulk of the season. And I think, you know, I'm bummed that obviously that we don't know when a start date is, but I'm here for it. And obviously we know that Jonathan Frakes is going to be directing, so he's been asked to direct some episodes. Yep. So yeah, I think it's going to be phenomenal.
I'm just extremely tantalized by the idea that there are 10 new Star Trek stories out there, specifically self-contained episodic stories that we will eventually get the chance to see and that exists and are in process.
Yeah.
It's super exciting to know. It sort of comes back to the discussion we're having at the start, you know, even with everything going on, even with all this and that, things are moving ahead no matter how slowly.
Yeah. I mean, I also feel like some of my favorite episodes of Discovery have been the more standalone episodes. You know, I liked season one of Discovery very, very much, but my favorite two episodes of season one by like a massive, massive margin are episodes 6 and 7, which are Lethe and then Magic to Make the Sanest Man go mad. I love those episodes. And in some respects, yeah, Lethe was a little bit more, you know, part of the larger story, but they didn't really deal with the Klingon War. They didn't read what was happening all around them. And they were far more self-contained. And those were my favorite episodes of, I think those are my two favorite episodes of Disco so far. So I think that this crew can really do episodic television. And again, just like with everything else, I'm here for it. This is definitely, you know, a new golden age of Trek, and I'm excited for what the future holds, my friend.
All right. Well, we've talked about the facts, and now let's speculate on what's going to happen in the future of Star Trek.
You make some very good points, Captain, but it's still all speculation and theory.
So each week, I and my guest give you a wish or theory we're nurturing about the future of the franchise, Lower Decks, Discovery, Picard, Prodigy, Strange New Worlds, etc., etc. So, Carlos, let's hear your theory or wish for this week.
I have a theory and or wish that Lower Decks will be the vehicle which a lot of our, like the characters that we love from all the 24th century shows will show up in, right? I think, obviously, you know, we've gotten Picard. In Picard, we've gotten Riker, Seven, Troy. It looks like we'll get Guinan and potentially LaForge and, you know, in season two, et cetera. But I think that this show, I mean, Mike is too much of a fan. You better believe, you know, if you told me that at the end of season one, we end up on Deep Space Nine, I would believe you. You know, are you telling me that, you know, Admiral Janeway isn't going to show up on Lower Decks? Come on. Of course she is, you know, so I think that like Lower Decks will be the vehicle for Mike, as such a fan of that time period of the show, to be like, let's see what, you know, let's see what a lot of our major characters are up to. You know, I don't think we'll get the card. I don't think we'll get some of the characters that are in the card. But I think we'll see. I think we'll see a fair bit of guest stars. You know, can they not activate the EMH on the ship? Come on, of course they will. So I think we're going to get a lot of phenomenal stars of Trek, that of Trek's past show up on Lower Decks.
Yeah, and you're probably going to have the prospect of getting more of the kind of, right, not the big names, right? Not your Picards and your, you know, kind of lead characters, but maybe your, you know, some of your secondary characters who, like, take a Harry Kim, for example.
Yeah.
Harry Kim's not going to show up in Star Trek Picard, right? It's just not. Right. No way, no how, no chance. Might show up in Lower Decks, you know?
Yeah.
Like what a perfect kind of venue for a character like that to make an appearance.
Completely. Barclay, come on, you know?
Right, precisely. Exactly. You know? Barclay would be a perfect one. I mean, especially given the comedy tie-in, given he is a funny character, you know, that would be great. Yeah, I think there are lots of possibilities, and we'll just have to see what happens.
Hugh can show up very easily. You know, they go to Quarks, you know, on DS9. Well, it's just going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, I said this on a previous episode, but I think like characters like Q and Quark and Barclay would just fit in so well because, you know, a Q episode on Picard, as much as I tend to believe that there will eventually be a Q moment on Picard, it doesn't work as well for the tone of the show. But a character like Q on a show like Lower Decks, I mean, it totally works.
Totally.
Well, my wish this week is in the merchandise realm. And I'm really looking forward to more from Factory Entertainment and would like to see more from Factory Entertainment in the months and years ahead. So this is the company that produced the teacups for the Enterprise A and the Excelsior that were released and then sold out in record time last week. Such record time that I recorded an episode the night before the Excelsior teacup came out saying that it was coming out, and then it had been sold out for like 3.5 days by the time the episode even went up. The company has indicated they are working on other cool products. They did a series of live streams where they were sort of teasing additional products still to come, and one of the products they teased was a replica of the Resican flute from the Next Generation episode, The Inner Light, complete with a very nice looking the box that the flute comes in at the end of the episode. And they were even talking about how they wanted to make it so that once you open the box, the music from the flute would start playing. These are cool products. I mean, obviously we don't have the teacups in hand yet, but I'm very excited to get mine in August once they ship out. I love this kind of stuff. Please, 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 let's get more of this kind of product out to Star Trek fans. Carlos, what do you think?
Ah, that's phenomenal. You know, do you remember when Star Trek 6 came out, and you would actually, back then, this was like 1991, 1992, they actually had all of the china that you could buy.
Yes.
And I'll never forget being like 10 or 11 years old, this one trip to the mall, and my mom had to return something at like a Macy's or something, right? Like super generic, you know, store. And we went to like the home section where it was, and they had like a massive display of all of the china from the Enterprise. And my mom being like, okay, just, I know you're not going anywhere, so just wait for me here. And that's like 11-year-old me just looking at this china, like coveting this china, you know? And I remember that they had a blanket, like a blue blanket with the Enterprise like logo on it. And so I love the fact that that stuff existed back in the day, and it was exactly, you know, it's exactly what they're making now. But I just love that it's coming back, and I love the fact that it sold out so quickly. So I think it's, I think it's fun. The more, you know, prop replicas and things like that that are made available, the better, because there's always going to be fans out there like me and you that love that stuff.
Do you have a theory or a wish for Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks, or the future of the franchise that you'd like to share? Tweet them to me at Weekly Trek, and I might feature your theory in a future episode. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Weekly Trek. Thank you so much to my guest, Carlos Miranda, for joining me today. Carlos, how can people contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
Well, as you know, Alex, I'm extremely active on Twitter, and I'd say about half of what I tweet about, if not 75% of what I tweet about, is Star Trek related. And my handle is at Double Mac, because in addition to Star Trek, I love coffee. And my go-to order is a Double Macchiato and a Double Mac. And so you can find me on Twitter. And let's chat Star Trek over there.
And you have had a couple of fabulous articles on StarTrek.com recently, haven't you?
Oh, my God, yes. So when lockdown happened, I had a conversation with my wife about things that I wanted to do during lockdown that I otherwise would not be able to do. And life, you know, like everyone, life is hectic and busy. You know, I have 2 8-year-olds that are extremely wonderful and amazing, but also demanding. And they're like, as the Brits say, Alex, they're chalk and cheese. So it's not like one thing, it's not like one thing appeals to both of them, right?
Yeah.
And so like life is full on, like all of us. But I said to my wife, I was like, you know what? I want to write an article for StarTrek.com. And I reached out to them cold, completely, like their policy. And I pitched 2 articles. And within like they wrote me back like a week later being like, we love these 2 articles, write them. And now I've written 3 for 3. And now they're like in touch with me about other things that I want to write. So yeah. And I've used it. So the last one was I had a conversation with the Okudas. I spent like an hour and a half on a Zoom just geeking out about Star Trek with Mike and Denise Okuda. It was
That's awesome.
Phenomenal. And they were, because they're fans themselves, you know, they're not just like, oh, this was my job, which is fair enough, you know, but they were like, I am, you know, they even said to me, they're like, you know, what you feel about Next Generation, Deep Space Nine and Voyager is how we feel about the original series. So we get it. And we just geeked out. And they like, you know, we had a great time. I had a chat with Robert Wolf as well, which was, I think, the best thing I've actually written of the 3 articles. My favorite one is the Robert Wolf one. So it's been just phenomenal. And now I have 3 or 4 in the pipeline that are equally as cool. And I've all of a sudden, for whatever reason, I've like fallen into like talking to behind the scenes people at Star Trek. So thank you for pointing that out, Alex. I really appreciate it. And there'll be a couple of more in the coming months.
Of course. Well, very exciting. Well, I recommend everybody go and check out those articles. They are really, really great. And you can find this show on Twitter at Weekly Trek and me at Alexander T. Perry. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And please check out some of the other great shows on the Tricorder Transmissions. And if you like our shows, please also consider becoming a Patreon of Tricorder, which you can find at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. And lastly, if you're looking for Star Trek news on the internet, I hope you will turn to TrekCore.com. Well, thank you, Carlos. Thank you to all of my listeners. And until next week, live long and prosper.